Well, we're going to look in the Word today. I had a particular subject on my heart. Of course, it is 4th of July weekend, and we celebrate this weekend. We celebrate the freedom of our country.
Yes.
I don't know that a lot of people actually realize all that has gone into our country gaining and maintaining their freedom. Freedom comes with a price. It normally comes at a cost. For our country, when it comes to the freedom of this country, how many know many wars have been fought? A lot of blood has been shed. My husband's been ministering, of course, on that the covenant, and he talked about how, especially back in the Old Testament days, when a covenant was cut, blood was always involved. And for us, when freedom is at stake, normally there's a price to be paid for that freedom. So as someone who lives in America, I don't ever want to forget the price that others have paid so that I can wake up free every day, so that I can wake up and live the life that I live. But how many understand that you could live in whatever country around the world that celebrates democracy or, you know, a unified belief in everyone living their own life as opposed to, you know, a dictatorship or, you know, something like that. There's many people that live in countries such as ours. And people that live in our country, but they're still not completely free. They're free in the sense that they've been born into a country that allows for their freedom. But they're not free in the fact that they're still bound by sin. So we never want to forget what was the price that was paid for us to be free as Americans, but let's look today at the price that was paid so that we could be free spiritually.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. The Spirit spoke to my husband years ago now, and he said strongly in his spirit, doesn't mean he heard an audible voice, just strongly in his spirit, he heard the Spirit say, I want my people free. And you might think, well, he who the Son sets free is free. But how many know you can be set free and not live free?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In other words, Christ can pay the price for your freedom, but you could never know about it, or you could just know about it and decide not to go after it and not grab it and take it for yourself and never live and walk in the true freedom that belongs to you. Let's look in the Word at John chapter 8. Praise the Lord. You're believing with me for a good service today, right? Hallelujah. We want all that God has for us today. We want the best version. If you're just coming to hear what I have to say, we're in trouble. Glory to God. We want what God wants us to hear and to say and to hear. Praise the Lord. In John chapter 8, these are should be some familiar verses to us. In verse 31, it says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" And they're saying, "We've never been enslaved. What are you talking about? We need to be free." Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Glory to God. You will be free indeed. Jesus came to this earth to pay a price, to shed his blood so that we could be free. But not just free in that we'd have a place to go when we died, but free on every level of our life here on earth. We're to live free. This is amazing. We can live free from anything that the enemy used to bind us with. We can live free from anything that the enemy used to restrain us with or bind us up with. We can live free from. What do I mean? I mean, if we used to, before we were born again, if we used to walk in some type of addictive type of thing, right? And how many know that can go a bazillion ways as far as what that would include? When we accepted Christ and accepted his freedom, we now have his ability to walk free from anything that used to bind us. If we used to think incorrectly, if the enemy used to bind us with thoughts of fear, with thoughts of inferiority, with thoughts of panic, anything that might bombard your mind and tell you you're something other than what Christ tells you you are, you have the right as a Christian now to walk free from that. But how many understand that can be a process? In other words, we don't walk in all the freedom that belongs to us the first day we get saved. Mainly because we don't know about all the freedom that belongs to us. In World War II, I was talking with my son yesterday, so I got a history lesson. I did ask him some questions, though. In World War II, of course, at the end of the war, the Allies gained victory, right? But our troops, the Allied troops, were spread out across the globe, really, but the troops that were in the Pacific, the Asian Pacific there, they were spread out all over the place. And there were about, I want to say the total still living, there was about 1,700 prisoner of war troops in spread around the islands in the Asian Pacific. Unlike in Europe, where the Allies could just storm into these prisoner of war camps, knock them down, and release all the prisoners, it took quite an operation to get the troops, to get to all the troops on these remote islands, where they didn't even know where all of them were. Right. So they actually had, it took about a month to get everybody back that had been taken captive by the Japanese over there. And so they called this, I wrote it down, they called it Operation Swift Mercy. And what they did, because they couldn't get to them physically yet, because there's so many islands, What they did was they loaded planes with supplies. The first thing they did was they loaded planes with pieces of paper, little pamphlets that said, "You're free." They loaded the plane and just scattered every island that they could find. They scattered every island, anywhere there looked like there was a building or there was people. They scattered these pamphlets that said, the Japanese have surrendered, the Allies have taken victory, and you're now free. Great news. But they're still stuck. Most of these prisoners, the ones that survived, they were, I was reading about one, because my son sent me tons of articles, but I was reading about one kid, really, he was 21, and he said he had lost half of his body weight. He weighed 80 pounds when they got to him. Because he had been in this prisoner of war camp for almost 3 years. And so they were literally starving. They had no proper clothing or anything like that. And so the news of freedom was wonderful. But they needed more than just the news. Yes. Right? They needed more than just a piece of paper. That was the liberation to them that opened their eyes that, hey, now all of a sudden we can take the guns from the Japanese. Now all of a sudden we the tables have turned. They are no longer our master. We are no longer their prisoner.
Right. Right.
My situation has changed, but I don't feel any different. I'm still hungry, thirsty, and I still need help. And so after the planes went over and dropped these pamphlets, on the bottom of the pamphlet, it said, relief will start coming within the hour, next few hours. And they started flying overhead with big drums and crates full of provision. One of the accounts said that our first provision gave us each 3 tangerines. And 2 shirts and 2 cigarettes, because that's important. After 3 years, that's what you want to start up with again. And, a piece of candy. It was like all these little things, but just something to get started. It was like a taste of what was to come. And they said in the days following, they were dropping bigger and bigger crates and big metal drums full of boots and, clothing and more food and some medicine and things that people would need until they could get the ships to the spots they needed to and cut through the jungle to get to where they were. They said that some of these crates and things were missing the mark. In other words, they didn't know where to drop them. And so they were actually said one guy broke his leg because a big drum fell on it while he was in the latrine. It fell on the latrine. And so they started taking some of the parachutes that had already come and making bullseye like targets for where they should drop the supplies, because so much was coming in and it was just going wherever. They needed a target for the place to land. And so all this to say, it took days for some, weeks for others before their full redemption or salvation, so to speak, where they were actually taken off the island, put back on the ship, and taken to wherever they were from, whether it was, the Allied troops, of course, were many different countries, but where they could be rescued, so to speak, from their prison. And what I was realizing was just reading that you're free isn't all that there is to it.
Yeah.
There is some experience that must take place. There is some knowledge that has to come. And God has made for us, He's made available everything that we're going to need here on earth. He told us that in 2 Peter, that everything that we could possibly need pertaining to life and godliness, He has provided for us. But it takes our knowledge and skill to go get it. Even though He's dropped it, so to speak, in our laps, we still have to go out and gather it. They said with these soldiers, one of the big crates dropped in the river. And he said they swam out there and got it. You know, all of a sudden you get some extra energy, even though you're only 80 pounds, right? You decide, okay, if there's food in there, I'm going after it. And they had to go after these things and actually go get them. And I have to imagine, I didn't read this, but I mean, you can think about the fact that there was probably some that were sick and too weak to move out of there, to be able to move out of where they were staying. And some of the soldiers had to go get some stuff, some provisions, and bring it back to their buddies that were still stuck there, right? Sometimes we're going to have to go after some things for our friends, so to speak, in our Christian life, and help to spoon feed them what the Word says and help them to realize who they are in Christ and what God has done for them. Yes, we come to church, but there are people that won't even come to church because they're so bound. And it's our job as the body of Christ to make sure that everybody knows they're free and that everybody has the supplies that they need to walk in that freedom, because Christ came to set us free. And He who the Son sets free will be free indeed. Now, I want to read you some translations of these verses here, if you will look with me in John 8, 31 and 32. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look in the Passion Translation for this, please. So Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, "When you continue to embrace all that I teach, you prove that you are my true followers. For if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into your lives." So part of us walking in the freedom that Jesus provided for us is us embracing this truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That word know in the Greek, that actually was a word that was used by the Jews back then to indicate, let's just say, what the intimacy of a marriage relationship would be, right? To know. A husband and wife would know them. Adam knew Eve. We got it? All right? You are to know the truth. Embrace it. Be intimate with it. That's how you will walk in all the freedom that God has for you. There's something we do. It's just not reading a pamphlet, right, that says, oh, by the way, you're free. Because there's a lot of people that could quote this verse and say, "He who the Son sets free is free indeed." Woo! But there's more to it than that, right? We've got to know this like a husband knows his wife in the most intimate fashion.
Yeah.
We are to embrace the truth, and it will release true freedom into our lives. Those soldiers gained strength every day as more dropped to them, right? As they partook of more that was supplied to them. And for the Christian, The more we get into the Word, the more we spend time in His presence in the Spirit, the more freedom can be released into our lives. In other words, it's all provided for, but we have to walk in it. Glory to God. Amen. Verse 36 of the Passion Translation. So if the Son sets you free from sin, then become a true son and be unquestionably free. In other words, if Jesus paid the price for you, then why aren't we walking in freedom the way we should be?
Amen.
If He sets you free from sin, then become a son. And walk free. Walk free. You might think, well, that's what I'm trying to do. That's been difficult. It's hard for me to do. But the more we embrace the truth and put down the lie that Satan tells us, you've always been this way, you're going to have to stay this way, you've always thought this way, you're going to have to think this way, you've always felt this way, you're going to have to feel this way. When we stop listening to that and realize, wait a minute, I've been set free. And that's why we've been ministering for months on faith. Why? Because it takes faith to realize what God said is really the truth, and what the enemy has said and what my body has felt for all these years, that's a lie. If God said I'm free, then I'm free. And I'm going to walk unquestionably free. And when that starts to rise up on the inside of you, believe me, things of the past, ways of thinking and ways of acting that used to have us bound start to fall off like chains that just are broken off of you. Because you start to realize, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Free. Why don't we try it? I'm free. Free from the way I used to think. Free from the thoughts that come against me. Free from fear. Free from bondage. Free from anxiety. Free.
That's right.
Free. Free from addictions of any kind. Free.
Yes. Yes.
Free from sin.
Free.
Free. If the Son sets you free, our job is to walk unquestionably free. And for many, like I said, the Spirit is so strong on this. He wants His people to walk in the freedom that belongs to them because Jesus paid for it. Blood was shed for it. A price was made, given so that we could have it.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful, if I'm not careful, I can start to live in the natural, talk in the natural, operate by the natural, look at the natural, and start realizing I'm limited by the natural. And all that takes to do that, because it's only natural, is to stop looking at this.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It takes me probably less than 24 hours. And I know a lot of that word. But all it takes is me not paying attention to it for a short period of time before my mind starts conforming to what I see, what I feel, what I hear, what I know according to the natural. For example, when looking at real estate, the first thing my mom wants to look at is number, the number. How much does it cost? 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 But I've got to train myself not to think that way. But if I'm not in the Word and not feeding on things like He's my provider, He's my supply, He's given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. If I'm not feeding on those things, I will not think of those things when I look at that real estate, whatever it is. Instead, I'll look at the number and say, wow, that's big. I know you don't do that. No, just me. It's just me. Praise the Lord. So I've got to stop when I'm looking. And if I start to think, I mean, I've gotten to the point where I will catch myself when I'm thinking something. Not even when it's not even come out of my mouth yet, but I know I'm thinking it. And I'm thinking, wow, 3 million's a lot. And I've got to stop myself, say, no. God's my provider. And I just threw out a number. I'm not saying anything. Just, you know, a number that might choke most of us, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe for you it's 5 million that chokes you, not 3 million. I've got to start to catch my thinking and start to align it to what the Word says. Why? Because He wants us to be free in every area of our lives, especially our thought life.
Yeah.
Free to live the way He provided for us. Free to live the way He meant for us to live. But it just takes some resolve.
That's right. Yeah.
It takes some grit. It takes a decision on our part to flat say, I'm going to do this with God all the way.
Right.
And when you decide that, you start walking unquestionably free.
That's right.
And just like those soldiers, there's levels to this freedom.
Yeah.
There's a walk, so to speak. In other words, He's provided it for us, but it's our job to discover it. It's our job to reach hold of it and take it.
Right.
It's our job to walk it out and to refuse to let the enemy bind us in those areas where he used to bind us. Ah, is this helping somebody today?
Yes.
I hope it is. Praise the Lord. In the Amplified of verse 36, you're on verse 36, we'll look there. It says, so if the Son liberates you, makes you free men, then you are really and unquestionably free. Why does it keep saying unquestionably? Because the enemy brings questions every day.
Yeah.
That's what he did with Eve. Did God really say? And that's what he does with us. Did God really say you're free? I mean, do you really think you're free? Look at you. You're not really free. Look at the way you act. Look at the way you think. The enemy's always your best friend when it comes to questions and accusations.
Yeah.
And we've got to learn to answer that when he comes.
Yes.
You think you're free? Your answer is, yes, yes, I know I'm free. I don't think I'm free. I know I'm free because the Word says that Jesus came to purchase my redemption. The Word says he who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
You've got to be able to answer it out of your own mouth. This is not something where you can just think him away or wish him away. You've got to be aggressive about this. And you better learn to answer him just like Jesus did in the garden.
Yeah.
Or the wilderness, I guess you would say. In the wilderness. When he was being tempted, Satan came to him over and over and basically questioned God and his word. And Jesus simply answered him every single time. It's written. It's written. It's written. It's written. And you've got to be able to say, it's written, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm a child of God. I've been set free. I'm free from poverty. I'm free from lack. I'm free from sickness. I'm free from anxiety. I'm free from fear. Bless God. I'm free from it, and I don't have to have it in my life ever. But you better learn to put your mouth to work. It doesn't just happen. And we've got some people in the body of Christ that are so weak and so malnourished, like those prisoners were, that it's going to take some serious spoon feeding of the word to get them to where they have the strength to walk off the island.
Yeah.
Amen. Right? Amen. Where they have the strength to get to their place of victory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you would, turn with me to Galatians 5. The Spirit is serious about us being free, about us living in freedom, about us walking in freedom, about us living in a place of peace and joy.
Yeah.
Glory to God. This might not be a sermon with 3 points and a poem, but when have I ever done that? We're just looking at some scriptures today because they were on my heart. Praise the Lord. Galatians 5, verse 1, says this, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery."
Yes.
What do you mean? If Christ made us free, aren't we just free? Obviously not. As soon as you find out you're free, the enemy's going to come and tell you you're not. And he's going to poke at you and say, "See? Feel this. I told you you weren't free." And you've got to be able to say, "No, I'm not going to submit again to that. That was the old me. I'm not going to submit to thinking like the way I used to think. I'm just not going to do it."
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now, Galatians is an interesting book. You know, most of the books that Paul wrote, the letters that we have in the epistles, he started off with, "I thank my God always in remembrance of you. I don't cease to make mention of you in my prayers." With the Galatians, he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?"
Yeah. Yeah.
He was upset. He said, when did you decide to leave the freedom that Christ purchased for you? And the problem was over these Jews that had received Christ, become Christians, and then decided they better still follow the laws of Judaism. And so they were telling some of the other people that had become Christians, some of the Gentile Christians, "You've got to get circumcised." Ouch. "You've got to do that. You know, you've got to do all these laws. You've got to, you know, abstain from this food and that." And Paul was irate.
Yeah.
"Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you into thinking you're going to have to go back to this slave mentality where you're bound by religion? Oh, Christ has set you free. Don't become entangled again with that mentality that I've got to work for my salvation. I've got to do this right. I've got to do that. I've got to do this. I've got to do that." For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. Don't submit again to a yoke of bondage, of slavery. Oh, we better read this one in the Passion Translation. Well, Amplified first. Sorry, Amplified. " in this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held and snared, and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off. Right. Slavery or bondage is anything that puts you in a box that God released you from.
Amen.
Right? Any type of mental torment, depression, fear, that's slavery. That's slavery. You're in bondage to those thoughts. Christ has set you free. Don't allow those things to come. You kick them out with your mouth. Praise the Lord. You kick them out with your mouth. What if we know somebody that's entrenched in this? Because we all probably know someone who deals with depression or, you know, fear or anxiety or panic. Right?
Yeah.
I could count three or four right now, just off the top of my head. We've got to start spoon feeding them the freedom. If they're Christians, spoon feeding them the freedom that belongs to them.
That's right.
Yeah. The reassurance that they're free. Honey, we're free from this, aren't we? We resist fear. If you're in close proximity, if they're your kids or your, you know, your spouse, you can have them repeat after you, I'm free from fear. I'm free from fear. I'm free from that. Christ has set me free. Start putting the word of God in their mouth or in your mouth if this pertains to you. Until they're, and you think they're not getting it. They're not getting it. Listen, guys. When there were prisoners of war that were so malnourished they couldn't get to the provision, they needed help for somebody to help bring it to them. And they didn't just regain their strength immediately, right? I'm assuming. Just naturally speaking, you don't start running a marathon the next day after being starved for 3 years. But it took... And right, you can't just feed someone that hasn't eaten real food in a long time. You can't just feed them a steak.
Right.
Yeah. Right? What? They'll release it. Their body won't receive it.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
I could tell a story in that long when we tried to help a homeless person, but we won't get into that right now. The body can't handle it. So you have to give them, not necessarily baby food, but, you know, little bits,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You start with soup,
yeah.
Broth.
Yeah.
I mean, in those packets, I saw a list of, they put in that pamphlet for those prisoners, they put a list of what was coming, what they could expect. And how to divvy it out amongst the troops that were there. How many rations were for each. But there was things like vegetable bouillon cubes, right?
Yeah.
Right, why? Because that's what you start with.
Yeah.
That's what you start with to get your body acclimated. And for some people, little bits of the word is what they're gonna need.
That's right.
Little bits of food. To start really, but we need to realize if this is us, with Christ, we can take in as much as we can for as long as we want. And the more we get, the stronger we'll get. Praise the Lord. And it's our job to see to it that we stick with people. If they're willing to receive it,
right.
We stick with them until they've got it.
Yes.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. In this freedom, Christ has made us free. Stand fast then. We've got to teach people to stand fast in what Christ has provided for us. We've got to teach ourselves to stand fast and not slip back into what Satan had us bound with. Christ paid for it. We can have it. Glory to God, because it belongs to us. Now the Passion Translation of that. I laugh because I love these so much. Let me be clear. The Anointed One has set us free. Not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. Wow. That's what we're talking about, guys. Let me be clear. The Anointed One has set us free. Not partially, not just a little bit, not just enough to get to heaven, not just enough to feel good when I lift my hands and worship God during the service.
Right.
He has completely and wonderfully set us free, physically, spiritually, mentally free. Some of you are sitting there like, yeah, that's good. This is amazing. That means we never have to be subject to sin and bondage again. If you believe in this, you'll be able to put your flesh under like that. This takes practice, though. It takes practice. I've been practicing this week, putting my flesh under. You know how fun it is? Zero amount of fun.
Yeah.
But if I can get my flesh under at my will, when I decide to, then I can kick the enemy out whenever he tries to come. This takes practice. This takes a standing fast. This takes a stubborn refusing to go backward.
Yes.
And if anyone's going to be lackadaisical, if anyone's going to be just take it or leave it, they're going to wind up in more bondage than they used to know before they knew Christ.
Yeah.
And we see it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
People make a little bit of progress with Christ and then they decide, I'm not gonna go any further. I'm not gonna go for any more freedom.
Wow.
And when they make that decision, they come up to a certain line. For some people, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues, nope, not gonna go there. And as soon as they start to refuse that, some people, it's healing. Nope, I can believe up to here, but nope, I'm not going to go any further. You know, whatever it is, some people it's prosperity. Oh, a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so they stop at a certain place, even though the word says otherwise. They say, nope, that's not for me. I'm good. And as soon as they start walking backwards, boom,
yeah.
Bondage. They've gone back into the bondage of their past. Huh? Well, isn't this a fun message today?
Yeah.
Woo! 4th of July, freedom.
Yeah.
Our country didn't become a country by people just sitting back on their heels and hoping that they could be free.
Right.
Somebody had to go to war.
Right.
Blood was shed, a lot of it. And you're not going to walk in all the freedom that God has for you, nor will the people around you, unless we stubbornly refuse to go
That's
back
right.
to the bondage of our past.
That's right.
And decide,
Amen.
If the sun set me free, bless God, I'm free.
Yes.
Completely.
Yeah.
And wonderfully. Free. Why don't you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Why don't you say this with me? Father, thank you
that I'm free.
That the sun has set me free.
And I'm free.
indeed.
Indeed.
Completely.
Completely.
And wonderfully.
And wonderfully.
Free.
Free.
Free, free, free.
Free, free, free.
So free.
So free.
I'm free to think.
I'm free to think.
The way you want me to think.
I'm free to do.
I'm free to do. What you want me to do.
What you want me to do.
I'm free to be.
What you want me to be.
Help me.
To see.
And walk.
In all the freedom.
That belongs to me.
Thank you.
I'm free.
Glory.
Hallelujah. We're free today. Free as a country, but free as a believer. Free in Christ. Walk in freedom. This week, next week, the rest of your life, walk in it. Glory to God. You're dismissed.